Good afternoon, and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul.
And my name is Mark Muro. And today our guest is Andrew Sweeney, who is the Associate Artistic Director of the Anchorage Opera. And he's here to talk about the upcoming Anchorage Opera season, music around town, and the art of directing an opera. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes, I'm glad you're here. Yeah. So just start wherever you want. You are the associate artistic director.
Yeah.
And what do you do? What does that job entail?
It entails a little bit of everything. I'm prepping the chorus. I'm serving as assistant conductor. I'm doing a lot of casting. Basically, anything that our general manager needs help with, I help with, and super titles, all kinds of stuff. You really got to know the art form to do this.
Yeah. Well, it's the burden of your multi-talented career.
So I'm told.
I will always remember Andrew for what he did during the last season or the season before, Time Flies, when the conductor got sick and he had to conduct an opera.
Yeah, really?
That was just back
from
in
scratch without rehearsal.
Yeah, that was back in February, and that was pretty interesting. The conductor that we had in from the Met had fallen ill, and the stage manager called me about an hour before the performance and said, "Maestro can't go on. He can't even walk. So you're on."
That's pretty unbelievable.
It was pretty unbelievable.
I attended that performance, and I know there were people there who had no idea.
Yeah, I hardly had an idea.
Wow, well,
that's it was beautiful.
As the orchestra
could
tell from the lost look on my face in the overture.
Jeez, wow. So how do you know how to do? I mean, you're obviously trained. You're a singer, and you're an accompanist, a piano player.
Yeah,
you probably play other instruments we don't even know about. And you're a conductor, obviously.
Yeah, I actually paid my way through school by conducting. So I did this kind of backwards. My conducting paid for my singing habit. All my degrees are in vocal performance, and I got there through conducting. That's basically how I put myself
so
through
you have
school.
An egg. Maybe you should be a conductor as well.
Yeah, well,
why are they importing people if they have you?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I am actually conducting something this season,
I suppose we better get down to business here.
Yes, down
and
to business.
Talk about the upcoming season.
The upcoming season is pretty powerful, and as you would guess from the title of our season, The Power of Love. We are doing quite a bit more this season than we did last season. Our first opera is a double bill of Suor Angelica, Sister Angelica, and Pagliacci, the famous clown opera. And those are both tour de forces on their own, and having both of them on a single night is just, I'm not quite sure there's a precedent for it, frankly.
And they usually use Cavalier Rusticana.
Cavalier Rusticana. There's the Suor Angelica is part of a Puccini trilogy, Il Trittico, which is also Il Tabarro, which is the cloak, and Johnny Skeeky, which translates as Johnny Skeeky,
which you've done before. And,
the
company has done Johnny Skeeky before. It's the most Johnny Skeeky is the most common one done out of the Il Trittico.
I always think of Roberto Bernini. That's Johnny Stacchino.
Not quite the same person. So we're doing Suor Angelica, which is probably one of the least done out of the Il Trittico. So kind of two pretty heavy operas there in one night. But Pagliacci is extremely entertaining, and Suor Angelica is extremely moving. So it should be a good pairing. Should be a very, very good pairing. Our middle opera in February is going to be Eugene Onegin. And that is a Russian opera and will be the first Russian opera ever performed in Alaska, which is I would say it is high time for that,
given
the Russian contingent. And that
well,
we
were talking about this for a long time with a lot of the Russian musicians and singers here.
Yeah.
They would always say, why isn't this done? So now it's finally
done. Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautiful opera and
such a masterpiece.
Such a masterpiece, plus for once it doesn't end sadly. Depending on whether you're a woman or a man.
That one is kind of depending on your perspective there. Frankly, I think Eugene Onegin gets what he deserves in the end, frankly. I don't think he's the greatest person.
Novel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that, so it was originally written, it's an epic poem, right? It's written in verse.
I believe so.
Yes, I have a copy of it.
Which lends itself to the musical setting.
I have a copy of it.
And who was the composer?
The composer is Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've heard of.
Yes. Yeah. One of those guys we've heard of somewhere along the line. Like I said, this will be something that has never been done in Alaska before, and it is long overdue. And our last production is going to be a concert of just incredible moments from operas. Our closing concert is called The Power of Love. It's named after our season, and it is just one thing after another, just one great powerful piece of music after another.
For those of you who just tuned in, this is Stage Talk, here with our guest Andrew Sweeney from Anchorage Opera, talking about a number of things, mostly opera. So let's go to the other part of this show and talk a little in the remaining few minutes about how staging an opera differs from staging a play. I know you've had experience at Cyrano's.
Yeah.
Both in various respects. And so you know about staging plays and you know about staging operas.
Yeah. Yeah. It is definitely different. You're dealing with several different factors that are different. One of the most marked ones is that everything is metered out. Your prose that you're singing is in time, and it's very difficult to stretch or compress that. Whereas in a play situation where you're dealing with free verse, typically you're basically the way the director wants the direction the director wants you to go in will dictate your rhythm, how quickly things roll out. You can pause where you want to. It's not the same in opera. You're dealing with an idea that a composer has laid out, and it somewhat limits where you're able to take certain things. Another way that it can differ is the amount of time that you have to stage opera. It takes about an hour of staging per 3 minutes of music. And your rehearsal periods for an opera are typically no longer than 2 weeks. So that is a lot of staging to get done within 2 weeks. You don't have a lot of rehearsal time to play and experiment and stuff like that. You really have to have a plan when you're coming into it. When you start a rehearsal period with an opera, the singers already have everything memorized. You're not working with somebody that's dealing with still looking at their script or at their score. And it just goes a lot quicker.
And then there's the vision of the director.
And then there's the vision of the director, indeed.
And how the design affects the show. And,
yes.
And that could vary wildly from production to production. Which is, you could do that in a regular play, in a drama that isn't musical.
Mm-hmm.
But usually there's no need to do that. Well, why is there such a high concept always thrown onto the opera? Because people have seen them before. Like there's a limited repertoire, and we expect to be like dazzled by some novelty.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, you know. Opera has been around for a long time. It's a lot of the time it's harder to modernize than just a free play is, because of the period of the music. When the music was written, can sometimes dictate the way that the time period that you're able to set something in. It's harder to modernize operas than it is to modernize, you know, even Shakespeare. It's more difficult to modernize an opera just because of there's so much of a stamp from the time that it was written.
The musical style.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. And it takes brilliant directors to be able to do something different with an opera. And we have a brilliant director coming in to direct Suor Angelica and Pagliacci, someone that is very much more an experienced theater director than an opera director. And we're hoping that that will carry through into the drama of our first two productions.
That's a familiar name to Anchorage, too.
Yes, it is. That is Teresa Pond, who ran Anchorage Community Theater through the 90s and really helped them turn things around there. She is a dear friend of mine from, gosh, I think we've known each other since high school even, and we went
did
to
Did she direct you in Shakespeare in Hollywood?
Yes, she did. Yes.
That was an excellent show. That yeah, was
that,
Cyrano.
That you was
were,
a pretty...
You were terrific. What a great show.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Teresa was terrific, too. That was really a great opportunity for me and a great opportunity for her. And it made me want to hire her for to
so
do this double bill that
here?
We have coming up. Yeah, Diamond.
You're from here?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a homegrown boy.
Well, that's good. And you went outside. You got all kinds of training.
Yeah.
And now you're back.
And I came back, and I've been here for a while.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's good. We're lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. I feel lucky to be here.
He's a man of many parts, too. He also plays music and acts and sings and directs. And
you're in a big band now? Actually.
This is one of my latest projects that I've been working on, and it's been, once again, another just incredible opportunity with which I feel so lucky to be involved. I'm playing with a band called Power of Ten, and they are playing at a Player's House of Rock on Thursdays from 8:30 to 10:30. And for anyone who doesn't know Player's House of Rock, that is the old Fly-By Night Club. Don't sing me White Keys.
This is a big band.
It's not a big band in terms of being big band music. It is a big band in terms of having a lot of members. There's typically 13 of us involved in any one performance, and we do mostly Tower of Power covers. It's a funk and soul band.
Funk soul, yeah. Like a West Coast 70s sound,
sort of.
Heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big horn section, funky grooves, great dance music. It is a really good time.
Jeez,
I enjoyed it, and I don't usually like that kind of music.
Oh,
but I've got to shut you up now.
Okay.
Because we're running out of time. And thank you, Andrew Sweeney, for coming and talking to us, among other things, about opera.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And the new opera season. Thank
Indeed.
You.
Indeed.
Okay, now it's time for the Stage Talk calendar. Opening tonight at Cyrano's is a new show called True Tales of the Frozen North. And this show runs Thursday through Saturday at 7 p.m. with a Sunday matinee at 3 through August the 30th. For tickets, they're available through centertix.net, or you can call 263-ARTS, or you can just go to Cyrano's before the show and purchase one.
And Out North announces its 25th anniversary season launch party on Thursday, August 27th at 6 p.m. For info, call Out North or go to outnorth.org.
UAA is holding auditions for a play, Terra Nova, which begins their UAA play season. Auditions will be held at the UAA main stage at the Fine Arts Building, room 220, on Tuesday the 25th of August and also Wednesday the next day the 26th at 7 p.m. No prepared material is required. For more information, call 786-1740. That's 786-1740.
Cyrano's is holding auditions tomorrow, Saturday, the 22nd, for the world premiere of Zack and Ada, a play about a September-December marriage, at 11 a.m. They need four men and three women. And also on Monday, August 24th, for Almost Alaska, which needs two men and two women in their 20s or 30s.
Well, that's it for this week's Stage Talk. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until next time, my name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.